Reveal yourself to us in the mighty name of Jesus. Reveal who you are. Help us to understand who you are in our lives. Help us to understand the importance of your presence in our lives. I pray, oh God, to everybody who's listening to my voice, that Lord Jesus, you begin to make your presence real in their lives in Jesus' name. So tonight we welcome you in this meeting and we honor you. We say you are welcome. We are ready to hear from you tonight. We are ready to be impacted. We are ready to be shifted. We are ready to hear your beautiful voice. You are welcome in this meeting. Speak to us, O Lord. The Bible says that your word does not return to you void. It comes to accomplish what it's meant to accomplish. So, Father, tonight, your word is accomplishing what it's meant to accomplish in the lives of your people. Every one of us that's in this meeting, Father, Lord, we receive clarity. We receive direction. We receive vision for our lives, O Lord, that we are able to follow. In Jesus' name, in 2025, none of us is failing to achieve our goals. None of us, O Lord, is living a mediocre life. But Father, Lord, we are living to the exact assignment that you destined for us to live in. In the name of Jesus, we have the resources that we need. We have the tools that we need. We have the people that we need in our lives in order to fulfill our assignments. Lord, we live our lives in fulfillment of what you destined for us before the foundation of the earth. And so tonight, Holy Spirit, we welcome you because, oh, you are so beautiful. You are so amazing. So Lord, I pray tonight that we are gifted with your presence. We are gifted with your fellowship in the name of Jesus, that we may know you in Jesus' name, that we may know you the way Jesus knows you, that we may know you and fellowship with you the way he does in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here tonight. I honor you and I bless your name. Amen and amen. And amen. Oh, my goodness. Wonderful IBS. Welcome to your best meeting. This is the best meeting of your life. I dare say that this is the best meeting of your life. You are gonna have an amazing time. Praise the Lord. So even as we are beginning, just say hi to somebody in the chat. Let them know that they're welcome. Let them know that, oh, it is on and we are back. So welcome to this beautiful meeting. I'm so excited to have everybody here. My name is Robbie Makasser, and I am the president and founder of Interactive Bible Study. Oh boy, am I excited. To every new person that's attending an IBS meeting for the first time, we want to say you are welcome and thank you for taking the time to just rejoin and be with us tonight. To everybody listening to us on the podcast, you are welcome. To everybody watching this on YouTube, you are welcome and thank you so much for being here. I do pray that this meeting is blessed and this meeting is amazing to you. Amen and amen. Okay, let's get right into the meeting. So, what is vision? So yesterday, unfortunately, I was not able to see what you guys were commenting, but I think Winnie got you guys talking about vision. So what is vision? So let's see in the chat before I share my screen. I want to know what you guys are thinking. I want to know what your thoughts are so that we can interact, right? So this is called Interactive Bible Study. So you want to interact. I want to know what your thoughts are. So let's get interactive and I'll read your thoughts. What is vision? And I don't want you to think about something that's very complicated or sophisticated. I want you to make it as simple as possible and just let us know what you think vision is, right? Yeah, because if you don't know what vision is, then maybe we already have a problem. Praise the Lord. So yes, let me see what you're thinking. Let me see where you're at so that I can just know what you think vision is. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I don't see anybody typing. Or maybe it's just me, but I want to see. Is anybody typing? Are we getting there? So don't type something too long if you're maybe typing on Zoom and it's slow. Give me simple words, phrases, definitions, so that I can get to know what you guys are thinking of, and so that I can get to hear your thoughts concerning the same. Praise the Lord. So what is vision? Wonderful IBS. Okay, I see a comment. This is beautiful. So I'm going to read one or two. Miss Caroline says, okay, so let's start from Mr. Anthony. So Mr. Anthony says, vision is the plan you want to achieve in life. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Miss Caroline says, the ability to think and plan for our future, clearly seeing where one wants to be at after some time. Okay, can I have one more before I share my screen? One more definition. What is vision, IBS? Let's go. You guys have beautiful thoughts. Let's hear your thoughts. This is an opportunity to share, right? Miss Jackie, perfect. Let's read what Miss Jackie says. The ability to plan and think about the future with imagination and wisdom. Okay, so these are all great answers. Thank you so much for participating. Let me share my screen. And I want all of us to just be engaged with the meeting. Try be available, try be around, try participate. It's going to be a blessing the minute you participate. Praise the Lord. Okay, allow me to just share my screen and then we can get right into the meeting for tonight. Okay, how many of us are excited? Are you excited to be here? Are you happy that we are back? What are you expecting from this meeting? Okay, praise the Lord. Kindly confirm in the chat if you can see what's on your screen so that I know that everybody's looking at the same thing. Just confirm and give me a yes if you can see what's on your screen. I am gonna appreciate that. Okay, so we are looking at the power of vision interactive Bible study. Let's get right into it. The table of contents, we're going to look at the source of vision, the roadblocks of vision, the principles of vision. And then that's it. Praise the Lord. So there you are. Look at yourselves. You all look amazing. You all look awesome. It's, you know, I really get excited when I see everybody here. So whenever I'm looking at IBS, I just look at all these faces and I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, look at the people that you've entrusted me with. And I'm constantly praying and asking the Lord to give me the grace to be a good shepherd. That Lord, I want to be a part of their solution. I want to be a part of that, right? So you all look beautiful and amazing. Thank you for being here. Look at yourselves. You all look amazing. Okay, so my name is Robbie Makasa. I'm a mechatronics engineer, a graphic designer. I'm an author, and I'm the president of Interactive Bible Study. I am a guitar instructor and a teacher of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the meeting. Let's get right into it. Oh, beautiful. Don't I sound like one of those people on the radio? I felt like that was beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor, sir. I'm so excited that you're in the meeting. Thank you for gracing us with your presence. You are so welcome, sir. I'm so glad to have you here in the meeting. Praise the Lord. Okay, so wonderful. IBS, here we go. So we talked about what vision is, and a lot of you gave us a definition of vision. It's very important to understand what this thing is, because whatever God has given you to do requires you to know exactly what it is you're supposed to do. Otherwise, it's very hard for you to function here on earth. Amen? The Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish. So vision is what makes people actually fulfill what God wants them to do. Vision is the safest transportation to your future. Oh boy, oh boy, I'm so excited. Vision is the safest transportation to your future. My pastor mentioned this, I think last week or the other week, that vision is the safest transportation to your future. What do you envision yourself doing? What do you imagine yourself doing? So God has placed within each person a vision that is designed to give purpose and meaning to life. Ladies and gentlemen, your life is meant to have meaning. Praise the Lord. You were never created to just exist on earth. You were never created to just exist in Zimbabwe or in Zambia or in Botswana. Some of us are from South Africa. Some of us who are listening in are in Asia and Europe. God didn't just decide, I'm going to place you in Lusaka or in the Copper Belt or wherever you are just so that you can exist. So your life is meant to actually have meaning. When you study in the Bible, you discover that every time God showed up, he came to give a specific instruction that brought his people into his vision. So God is thinking, you know what? I'm gonna turn away from this generation. I want a generation that knows me and loves me and fears me. So I'm gonna look for a man. And so he finds a man called Noah. And God gives him the vision. He's saying, look, I am very sorrowful. If you read it in Genesis 8, verse 6, the Bible says the Lord was sorrowful that he made man. Imagine God being sorrowful. So he says, I'm going to talk to a man called Noah, and Noah is going to be part of the solution. So sometimes we're thinking, oh God, I'm praying. I can't wait to do this. I can't wait for you to do this for me. And then God is waiting on you as well. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that the creation awaits the manifestation of the creature. So the world is waiting for you to ascend to that level, to that assignment, to that place that God destined for you to be. The world is waiting. We're all waiting for Evelyn. We want to know what Evelyn's going to do. We want to know what God has placed in Evelyn. We want to know what God has placed in the life of Yvonne so that when Yvonne manifests that vision, then we can see the glory of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. So when God appears in the lives of men, there is a specific instruction, there is a specific goal, there's a specific agenda. So Noah is that man. And then God says, you know what? We're going to start again, and I'm going to use this man. And then if you study the Bible, you notice that even the ark had specific measurements. God is not careless. No, our Heavenly Father, no, He planned for you properly. The Bible says, before the foundation of the earth, oh my goodness, it says He planned for you. So before He can create the earth, before He can create the planets, before He can create the solar system, and He's thinking, I'm going to make earth to be the third planet so that where I'm positioning it, it's not too hot. You think it's hot, but I promise you, when God created the earth, he knew that in this environment, human beings can actually live and thrive. Even the coldest place on this earth is something that human beings can actually survive on. Have you ever seen, maybe if you're watching the Discovery Channel and people are living in these little igloos? You know what an igloo is? It's a little shelter, like made of ice. And then people are living on some place that has ice. And then it's providing shelter for the people. People go to Antarctica. You're just going to find penguins, and these animals that live in the water. No form of, human activity there, but people go there. And even in cold places like those, people still manage to thrive. So when God created the earth and he made the planet, he knew. He knew the right temperatures. Oh God. He knew, I can't make it too hot. They're gonna burn. So let me just make it a proper temperature so that they can live and survive. I can't make it too cold again. That's why the Bible says there are seasons. He made seasons for a reason. We can't always be experiencing the cold weather. No, because God destined, planned for it to be a certain way. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited about vision. So even us, when God created us, because God is a God of vision, He expects us, His creation, to actually have vision in everything that we do. So what do you imagine yourself doing? What do you want to accomplish? Are you doing what you really want to do with your life? These are questions you are supposed to answer. Whatever you're doing, is it just a hobby? Is ministry just a thing that I do because you know what? They put me in this position. So maybe at your church, you've been entrusted with certain responsibilities. Are you just thinking of it as, you know what? They needed somebody, so let me just do it. Or are you really functioning from that place of, you know what? I can do something with this department because I've been entrusted with a certain responsibility. At your company, they've placed you as head of a certain department. Hello, there's something that's meant to be achieved. So you need to know what is your dream? What are you doing with what God has placed in your hand? God has placed something in all of us. Moses, he's at the Red Sea. And it's very overwhelming. The people is leading, they've been subjected to slavery for so many years. Goodness, so many years. And so now God finds a deliverer. Moses comes. After they leave Egypt, you're thinking, okay, good. Then they meet a roadblock. Oh, Lord, what am I gonna do? So people are crying. Moses speaks to the people and says, look, calm down. The Lord has fought for you. Don't worry, He'll fight for you. Then Moses has a conversation with God, and God's response is very interesting. He says, look, why are you crying to me? Go and read it in Exodus. Why are you crying to me? He says, tell the people to move on. And Moses uses his staff, and then the Red Sea was separated. So we can't always be crying, Lord, what is going to happen with my life? What am I going to do? No, the Lord has placed something right within your heart. It's right there within. Praise the Lord. When you discover what your vision is, oh my God, you are finding something that you put your entire being in it. There's no separation between what you are doing and who you are. So your vision becomes your life. Look at what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. What? So for those of us who don't like working, I want you to know work is not a curse, because sometimes people feel like, oh, it's the curse that came with being connected to Adam. No, before sin, Adam actually had responsibilities. The Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 8, that he placed the man in Eden so that he could tend the garden. So even before sin comes, because you find that in Genesis chapter 3. There's a man who has vision. There's a man who has purpose. So even though we like to criticize Adam, he was a perfect man because at least he knew his assignments. Praise the Lord. So he's in the garden. God says, you're going to tend. You're going to tend. You're going to cultivate. Oh, yeah, you're going to make it better. Are we following, ladies and gentlemen? This is beautiful. So, whatever your hand finds to do, the Bible says, do it with all your might. So, we can't be lazy. We can't lazily pursue our dreams and expect a high return. No, you have to put energy into it. Get tired doing your vision. Get tired pursuing your dream. Get tired achieving the things that you actually want to achieve. Every year, people make resolutions, and every year, people don't succeed. Is it because there's something wrong with making resolutions? No. Sometimes the struggle is the implementation part. Sometimes it could just be that maybe there are no accountability structures or people that can actually help you and say, look, you are complicating things too much. And then for others, they have unrealistic dreams or things that are also, imagine here you are, you're starting out a business and your vision is, I'm gonna make $20 billion this year. is it really realistic with what you're doing? Considering that you're just starting out, considering that there's so many things you may need experiencing. Praise the Lord. So sometimes it's because, oh, it's maybe unrealistic, and then there's no strategy. So how am I going to make the 20 billion? I like to mention in IBS that God is not careless. He wants stewards. When God gives you a 20,000 kwacha, for instance, and this is money that you get as a business person, if you're not able to manage a 20,000 kwacha well, there's no you're not going to manage more money. Because the proof of faithfulness is in the little. The Bible says, he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. So God wants to see what you can do with your little. Wherever you are, look, humble beginnings are not a disgraceful thing. God has given you 100 kwacha, or God has given you 5 people to shepherd. If you're a pastor, or if you're involved in, ministry, God has given you 5. He expects you to be the best shepherd of those 5 people. Praise the Lord. I have been doing this by God's wonderful grace for 10 years. And when I started out, I would have one person who I would shepherd, and my responsibility was just for them to know Jesus. And I was very faithful with my one person. We're going to go to church. We're going to go to church. We're going to go to church together. And I'll make sure the person is in church. So whenever you want to grow, it first starts with what you are managing now. When you read the story of the talents, you notice that the Bible says he gave them according to their ability. The one who had 5 multiplied to 10, the one who had 2 multiplied to 4, the one who had 1. You know what the Bible says about that one? It says, you wicked and lazy servant. So God has placed certain things in your life. What are you doing with what God has given you? What are you doing with the money that God has given you? And how much of it is going to his kingdom? How much of it? We're so quiet today, IBS. Is the message, is it tickling us? We are so quiet. Are we thinking about what I'm talking about tonight? Yeah, so the money that you have, how much of it goes to further the kingdom of God? The wife God has given you, for those who are married, what has become of her since you got married? The business God has given you, the church, whatever it is God has given you, what has become of it? Praise the Lord. So every person has been designed to have a meaningful life. Praise the Lord. So let's look at a few scriptures. So the first key to understanding vision is to realize that it always emanates from purpose. Praise the Lord. So these two somehow can be intertwined. So God was the author of vision. In his nature, it is in his nature to be purposeful in everything that he does. That's why I keep mentioning that God is not just going to do something because I feel like doing it. There's a reason. So even when God created Miss Caroline, even when God created Emmanuel, there's a reason why God created you. That's how come the Bible says, a scripture that we like in Jeremiah. It says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, it says, I knew you, my goodness, and I ordained you a prophet. So before this man, Jeremiah, could even ever learn how to talk, in eternity, it was already completed. It was already decided what he was going to do with his life. His life was already finished. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever God created you to do, it's not like it's a surprise to him. It's already finished. He's finished it. That's how come when you go back to Genesis, when he's creating, you realize that God already had a vision. So then now he's just implementing his thoughts. He's acting out his thought processes. He's acting out what he's been thinking. He's acting out what he planned long before the foundation of the earth. So when God creates you and places you where you are, there's a reason. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, I love it. He says, he created us a workmanship. He created us as a workmanship. You know what a workmanship is? In other version, it says a masterpiece. So you are God's masterpiece. Oh, you can never be a mistake. No. You can never be an accident. God forbid. You are God's masterpiece. So when God was creating you, when he was designing you, saying, I'm going to put these eyes on Claudette, and I'm going to make sure the eyes are like this. I'm going to make sure this person has a certain shade of color so that she's dark, so that he's dark. And I'm going to make sure he's this tall. I'm going to make sure God specifically put those things. And then he knows this is who I'm designing. Oh, yeah. That's how come David can say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he says, and this I know. Praise the Lord. So when you're living your life, you understand that there's a reason why I'm on earth. Oh no, I didn't just come here to try out things. No. I'm not trying to do one or two things. I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for an assignment. And there's something that God has placed within me. Look at what the Bible says. Psalms 33 verse 11. It says, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. So God has plans. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Mm-hmm. When God wanted the Philistines to be destroyed, he decided, you know what? Let's go to a certain city, a certain place. I'm going to have this man who's going to be named Samson. And then notice, before Samson is born, an angel appears and then gives the specifications. This child is not supposed to be drinking. This child is going to grow out his hair. He's going to be called a Nazarite. And he's going to be your defender. So that's what he's supposed to be. And that's what Samson was. Praise the Lord. So in the same vein, there are things that are so specific that only you can, I have thought. So it shall come to pass. Praise the Lord. The power of vision. The vision. So this is what vision can get you at. You know exactly. I have a certain thought. This is where I'm going. Amen. So what vision really is, it's just a picture of where you're going in its simplest form. Yeah, when you think about your life, what do you see? When you think about the next 5 years, what exactly do you see about your life? So vision is just a picture. Where am I going? This is what I'm seeing to become. This is where I'm headed. Praise the Lord. So now let's look at factors. God created you with a purpose. Praise the Lord. God created you with a purpose. Ephesians 2 verse 10, a scripture I was quoting. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Isn't it beautiful to can do the good things he planned for it? Yeah, this is in the end. Can you guys hear me? I was seeing a comment, somebody saying they can't hear me. Can everybody hear me? Give me a yes if you can hear me so that I know if it's my network or the other person's network. Okay, you can hear me? Okay, so it could just be network, but if you can't hear me at any point, just give me a yes or I can't hear you. Okay, perfect. So God created you with a purpose. Ephesians 2 verse 10, NLT, it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Praise the Lord. Yes, so God wants you, or God created you with a purpose. So when God comes and says, I want to make you, there's a desire he has. That's why you always have to be prayerful. Ask the Lord. When you're praying, ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to do for you? Lord, in 2025, what is it that you want me to do for you? It's very important, because sometimes you can be writing down plans and then none of it are in the perfect alignment with what God wants for you. It's important. So spend time to pray about the plans you have. Spend time to pray over them. Lord, this is what I want to do. Is this something I can do in the now? Praise the Lord. Lord, how do you want me to serve you this year? Lord, how much money do you want me to give into your kingdom this year? Look, it's very important. And I know some of us maybe don't believe in giving in the kingdom. It's very important. And I think in March, I'm going to be teaching about kingdom finances. I think it should be in March, right? But God created you with a purpose. There's a reason why you are here. And it's very important to know it, because if you don't know why you are here, you don't live out your best life. You don't live out exactly what you're supposed to do, because to begin with, you don't know. Praise the Lord. Number two, you were born at the right time. This is important. You were born at the right time. Some of us feel like I should have been born 30 years ago, or 30 years before I was born, or I should have been born in the 60s, in the 40s, or, you know, at another period. No, you were born at the right time. Look at what the Bible says. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. What? So by the time you are coming, it's actually the right time to be born. Doesn't matter how you came on this earth, but the minute you are here, it's the right time to be born. It's not like God is like in heaven, they're like, oh my God, what happened? Oh my God, we were not so sure. So I've seen your question, Brandon. We're going to answer all these questions in the course of the month. So this whole month, we are learning about vision. So you've asked, how can you discover your vision? These questions are going to be answered. So you just need to make sure you join every meeting on Friday. Praise the Lord. But otherwise, all these questions are going to be answered. Yes. So when God creates you, he created you at the right time. When you were born in 1997, that's the time God wanted you to be born. Amen. And you know why it's important to know this? Because sometimes we start to imagine, I wish I was not African. How many of you have ever wished that before? I wish I was not black. And to be honest, if you've ever thought like that, I wish I was not African, or I wish I was not Zambian, or I wish I was not from whichever country you represent, right? When you begin to think like that, it's showing that perhaps you've not yet seen certain things about vision. When God wanted you to be born as a Zambian person, it's something that he wanted. Praise the Lord. Yes, when God decided, I'm going to make you to be a black person, and some of us are darker than others, it's fine. Oh my goodness, what? So God is looking at you like, I like your black skin. Look, you know I'm talking like this? Because in today's world, there's every reason to hate yourself. There's every reason to feel like you're not enough. There's every reason to feel like you're not doing enough. But when you begin to see yourself in light of how God created you, why God created you, you're not going to want to be like someone else, because you are robbing us of authenticity. We don't want another Robbie. No, we want you, because when God created you, there are certain assignments that are attached to you. So if you become like somebody else, then we never get to interact with what it is that God placed in you. This is why it's important to love who you are. Praise the Lord. This is why it's important to never feel like I wish I was lighter in skin. Oh my God. And you know, it's just those of you in IBS, I think you know me. I love myself. Oh my goodness. I love me. It's very important. The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Let me tell you something. If you hate yourself, you can't love another human being. I promise you. This is why even in relationships, people are trying to love other people on behalf of others. You can't, a person can't love you like somebody should love you on that behalf. No, it doesn't work like that. So you have to be able to value yourself a certain way, see yourself a certain way. And you have to know that, look, when I was born, that was the time I was born. I was born in this generation for a reason. In the Bible, whenever God wanted to change things, he just had to make a person. When Jesus came, that was the right time to come. And in the Old Testament, the scriptures were pointing to him. We're waiting for the Messiah. We're waiting for the Messiah. We're waiting for the Messiah. And then the Messiah comes. John is in prison, and then he's asking, are you the Christ, or should we wait for another one? And then you know how Jesus responded? The Bible says, then he began to heal the sick. Oh, yes. Then he began to heal the deaf. The mute began to speak. And then he told the disciples of John, go and tell him what you've seen. Praise the Lord. So you were born in the right generation, because we need you here right now. Maybe in a different generation, you wouldn't have been as relevant as you are now, because this is a place that God decided. This is a timeline you're meant to be born in. Praise the Lord. Yes, so you're born at the right time. Let's move on. Let's move on. Ladies and gentlemen, number three, you were given a sense of purpose. I love this one. You were given a sense of purpose. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 10. The Bible says, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. Again, let me make a comment. So this means you have to have a healthy relationship with work. For I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. Every human being comes on earth with a purpose, a sense, something that weighs on you. And let me help you discover your purpose. Eh? Somebody's asking, somebody ask, how can I discover my purpose? What are the things that keep coming to your mind? What thoughts keep coming to your mind? That some of you keep thinking about an orphanage. It's very possible your purpose is tied to that, or your assignment is tied to that. That some of you just see yourself as a manager. Like somehow for you, managing things is not so difficult. It tells you something about how God has designed you. So how to know some of these things? It's just the things that are always in your heart. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So some of these things that are in your heart, don't always ignore them, because there's something about what God destined for you to do right there. I'll give you an example. Praise the Lord. Me, when I sleep sometimes, I have a dream and I'm speaking to people. Sometimes I'm in a room and it's just men. And then I'm talking to the men. And then, you know, in IBS, I've been talking about this for a minute, that I want to have a platform that grooms men, because I mentioned there is a huge gap between women and men. And if you search around today, you don't have too many platforms that are actually helping the boy child. You hear things like, let's groom the girl child, let's groom the women this, and it's beautiful. We love that. But as long as it's just things to do with women, the men are lacking behind, and there's a big gap. So sometimes when I sleep, I just have a dream and I'm looking at men. Then I know, oh, okay, so Lord, you've honored my dreams. And then most of the times, whatever I'm doing is to do with people. So it gives you an idea, praise the Lord, that this is where God wants me to be. So you were born to do something that you must fulfill. And until you fulfill it, you'll never be satisfied. Praise the Lord. You need to fulfill it. I must fulfill. Type in the chat. I must fulfill my purpose. Praise the Lord. I want you to type it out. Yes. And then even as you're typing it out, I want you to speak it out. We might not hear you, but just type, I must fulfill my purpose. The minute you begin to talk like this, look, God begins to see that this person really wants to know what they're supposed to do. And then you know what he does? He begins to make those things become so real in your life. Praise the Lord. So you must fulfill your purpose. Amen. Number four, God placed his eternal purpose in your heart. Something that I just mentioned, right? God placed his eternal purpose in your heart. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, the Bible says he has made everything beautiful in its time. Look at that. That's why I love this. Let me also just mention, maybe there's some of us who feel like, you know, my life is not where it's supposed to be because you're comparing your life to another person. Look at what the Bible says. It says he has made everything beautiful. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Lord Jesus. So look, when your friends are succeeding, that's okay. Because when God created you, let me tell you something. There is room for your ideas wherever you are. No ways. Like, it's not like God is stuck. Like, this one has too many ideas. I don't think it's going to be enough. No, let me tell you something. There was a time in the Bible, right? There's Abraham and Lot, his nephew. These people became so wealthy that the land could not contain them. So Abraham says, look, choose a land for yourself. And Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says he chose a place near Sodom and Gomorrah, sadly. But he chose. And he felt like, I found my place, you know. After he chooses, God says to Abraham, I want you to look as far as your eyes can see. This is what I'm giving you. Oh, boy. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not stuck. He's not a small God. No, 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 no. So he tells Abram, as far as your eyes can see. So what do you see when it comes to your life? What do you see? How far can you see? How far does your eyesight go with the things God has placed in your hand? How many more people? I'm thinking, how many people can I impact in my generation who can come to know about the Lord? How far? How far? How far? That's how come the Bible says, now to him who is able to do. So don't think about the doing part too much. No, no, it's been given to him to do. It says, according to what you think, to what you ask. But look at the last part. It says, according to the power that works in you. So only you can limit what God can do in your life. So forget about background, forget about experiences, forget about your status in life. No, 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 no. He's placed eternal purpose in your heart. So it's crying out. You need to do this. It's crying out. I want the world to discover this thing. Oh, boy. There's some of you who sing, but you're robbing us of songs that we're meant to hear. You're robbing the gospel genre of certain songs that only you should release. So you need to walk in that purpose. That some of you, you're meant to be in the entertainment industry so that we can have godly content and not, you know, the bad stuff that people are, you know, making. And let me tell you something. If as a believer, you're always thinking, for me, my life is just the church. If that's your life, beautiful, amazing. But look, we need people in the media. We need people to be presidents and governors. Because look, those are the people who are making the decisions of the world. And if we have wicked people in these areas, it means the world is not going to go where it's supposed to go. The Bible says you are the light of the world. Oh, God. So whatever you're doing, it's meant to be visible. So you can't be a believer and you're thinking, my small business. No, we don't talk like that. Why should my business be small? Why should my life be attached or associated with smallness? I refuse to be small. Oh, not with what God has placed in my heart. I can't be small. I refuse to be small. I'm moving according to what God placed in my heart. Oh boy, oh boy. The economy has nothing to do with what God has placed in my heart. My skin has nothing to do with that. Wherever I'm placed has nothing to do with that. God has placed it, it's going to happen. So that's why you're encouraging yourself. He says, also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Look, do you know what the Bible is saying? The Bible is saying that the vision is placed in your heart is a piece of eternity. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. In heaven, they long decided what Michelle is supposed to do here. So wherever she is, you are the light of the world. Praise the Lord. So I can't be small. My businesses are visible. My company is visible. My church is visible. My ministry is visible. My family is visible. Whatever I do is visible because I'm the light of this world. The Bible says your light is meant to shine. It says you don't put that light under something. No, 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 no. It's meant to shine. The Bible then goes on to say, let your light shine so that men can see. Why are you hiding your talents from us? Why are you hiding those ideas from us? Why are you hiding that creativity and innovation from us? Because you're scared. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm the light of the world. My plans have significance. In the name of Jesus. That's how you speak, ladies and gentlemen. So in 2025, no more intimidation spirit. No, the thing is, I'm a female. So what if you're a female? And then what? If you're a female, and then what? No, the thing is, I'm a small young boy, and so what? He has placed eternity. He has placed something in your heart. It doesn't matter what your age is. And you see, the things we talk about, the people in the Bible had the same challenges. God says, oh, Jeremiah, but Lord, I'm too small. I'm a youth. What am I going to say? God says, don't worry about that. Because before you were formed, Jeremiah, I knew what I planned for you. I knew that I called you and ordained you a prophet. So forget about your age. Forget about ethnicity. No, no, no. He has placed eternity in your heart. In heaven, there are certain things that are supposed to manifest here on earth. That's how come when Jesus is praying, he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that when we compare how you're living on earth with how they created everything for you in heaven, there's a 100% match. So mine is to align to what God has destined for me. If I'm at 50%, Lord, I'm moving closer. Every day I'm getting better. Every day I'm moving closer until it aligns perfectly. Praise the Lord. That's why it's important to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to do this year? What is it that you want me to do? If you keep thinking politics is a dirty game, then we'll never change the narrative. Leadership is spiritual, if you didn't know. So we need godly leaders. You have political aspiration, please go for it. Oh yeah, we need people who know the Lord in those spaces. Praise the Lord. We need people in the media. Amen. We need people who are believers who run companies and great businesses, not those big things being owned by wicked men so they can control the world. No, we need you. Praise the Lord. Somebody type in the chat, we need your vision. Yes, we need your vision because we need it. Praise the Lord. Number five. Your purpose is already completed in God. I love this. Your purpose is already completed in God. So the Bible says in Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 10, NIV, it says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there's no other. I am God, and there's none like me. It says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I'll do all that I please. Praise the Lord. So first you see that God establishes the end from the beginning. So God is not getting, you know, like he's like, hey, I didn't know Mr. Anthony Peary could do this. He's not shocked. He knows exactly. He knows exactly. And look, let me tell you something. Whatever God has placed in your heart, it's not a small thing. Sometimes why we feel like it's small, it's because we compare these things to other people. Can I tell you something? There's a man in the Bible called John. For him, his purpose was just to announce the coming of the Messiah. And that's it. I'm the one who prepares the way of the Christ. So when Jesus comes, he says, look, this is the Lamb of God. So John was able to recognize the Lamb of God. And did you know that John and Jesus were cousins? But he forgot about that. He's saying, the Christ has come. My job is just to announce him. And then do you notice that after Jesus comes on the scene, you don't hear much about John. In fact, he gets killed. And it's a very brutal death. His head is chopped off. So you might be thinking, oh, that's so cruel. It's so brutal. No, he fulfilled all that was meant for him. And in heaven, they are very excited and happy. So don't try to be something that you are not. Don't try to be like someone else. No, be you. Be the authentic you that God designed you to be. Because if you try to be like someone else, it's not going to work. You find you are frustrated because I want to be like someone else. Praise the Lord. So God establishes the end before the beginning. He finishes things first in the spiritual realm, and then in the physical, it starts matching up. And the second thing you see is that he reveals the end result when it's just beginning. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited. We're just left with three more things and we are done. So I want you to know three things about vision. Number one, vision is as close as your heart. So I think this is already answering that question that somebody asked. Vision is as close as your heart. Psalm 37 verse 4, the Bible says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So what is God saying? Serve him, have a relationship with him, and just serve him. And then bit by bit, you begin to discover that, oh, this is what God wants me to do. Yeah, so whatever it is God wants you to do, it's already in your heart. Number two, vision is unselfish. So the purpose of a vision is to bring about God's kingdom on earth and to turn people to him. That's why as a believer, whatever you're doing, let people glorify the Lord. Amen. If you start a company, it should be you to help as many people. I'm going to employ all these people. I'm going to make sure with the money God has given me, I'm going to create employment. What are you doing? You are helping people. So it's not supposed to be some selfish thing. We're not building some kingdom, kingdoms for men, so that I become great. This is why the Tower of Babel was destroyed, because whatever they were doing had nothing to do with God. It had everything to do with them. So God says, let me show you who's mighty. You think you're mighty? He destroyed it. And then there was confusion. And that's how come you speak a different language from your neighbor. Because of those guys would have all been speaking one language. So blame the people who were trying to build that tower. Praise the Lord. Okay, and the last one for tonight is vision is the only thing that will bring fulfillment. Praise the Lord. So I did mention that if you try to be like someone else, it's not going to work out. Yeah, it's not going to work out. So you need to be you. Vision is the only thing that will bring your fulfillment. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 13, NIV, it says that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. So look, God doesn't just want you working, 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 working. He wants you to find satisfaction in what you're doing. And as long as you don't know what it is God has given for you to do, you will never find that satisfaction. Praise the Lord. It says, this is the gift of God. It's God's desire for you to enjoy what you're doing. Yes, I'm not just doing it. So you find that the reason sometimes why people are just doing things, it's not even for a good reason. No, you know, I'm just doing this so that. And so you find that they're just toiling and toiling and toiling. But God wants you to find satisfaction. So what from your life, what have you seen that God has been grooming you to do? Don't ignore these unctions. Praise the Lord. Don't ignore your dreams. Some of you literally have dreams. Like when you're a dreamer. You're like Joseph. When you sleep, things happen. You know what I mean? So don't ignore those things, because God is speaking to you about certain things. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so this is it. We've come to the end of the meeting. And it's been so amazing. It's been fun. It's been exciting. Praise the Lord. But before we end, I want to give an opportunity to those who don't know the Lord Jesus. If you're here in the meeting and you don't know Jesus, you see, I've been talking about purpose in relation to God. Because we all came from God. Do you know why religion was birthed? It's a search for a higher power. People are always looking for something higher. So that's why religion was born. But Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is the expression of God in the life of a person. God has always wanted to express himself in people. That's how come the Holy Spirit lives in you. So he can find expression in you. When I started the meeting, we prayed and honored the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says that I will not leave you orphaned. The Holy Spirit is going to live with you forever. Right? So if you've never given your life to Christ, I want you to just say yes. Look, this is not a moment to feel shy. This is not a moment to feel like, oh, you know the things that people hear. As long as you feel ashamed, you will always have a challenge with your Christianity. You won't have the boldness that's required for you to live as a believer. I promise you, from the time I gave my life to Christ, almost 11 years ago, it cost me something. I had certain friends, but I had to lose the friendships because my new life could not accommodate the friendships I had then. Praise the Lord. And it's been the best choice I've ever made. So you've never given your life to Christ. I want you to just type yes in the chat. And I would love to lead you in a prayer. In a very short prayer, I'd love to lead you in a prayer. And if this will be your first time, I want you to contact me. Because I already have a group where I teach on salvation so that people get to know the Lord. The second category is you are born again, but you want to dedicate your life to the Lord this year. There are a group of believers where every year or every month or every now and then they go back to sin, but you want to live for the Lord this year. So you're not typing yes, but you can just pray this prayer after me. And if you are one of those, I want you to have accountability structure. Let me tell you something. If you're dealing with sin or a sin that you've been trying to overcome for so long and you're still failing, it could just mean that you need more accountability structures. An accountability structure is somebody you choose very well, somebody you know that they're going to correct you in love and they're going to lead you to Jesus. Yeah, when I first got saved, there were so many things I had to change. And so I lived with my mentor in the same room because I was in high school. And I used to cuss a lot. So each time, and this is me, I'm now born again. So I'm trying to learn the new life of a believer. So I'm there And I'm trying to teach the gospel, but then I'm like cussing in it. Yeah, you know, Shanshani. And then my mentor passes by, like, hey, we don't do that here. And then I'd get corrected. So correction is very important because it helps you to live the Christian life the way it's meant to be lived. Praise the Lord. It's deception to think that everybody sins. As long as people are thinking everybody's a sinner, it's not true. Not everybody's a sinner. There are some of us who are righteous. I can't be a sinner. Why? Why? Right? But it starts with the mindset. It starts with what the word of God actually says. Okay, so if you're in this category, I just want you to pray this prayer with me. Okay, so say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. From now on, I'm born again and I live this life for you alone. Amen. Lord Jesus, I pray for everybody who's received you, those who've rededicated their lives to you. Lord, my prayer is that they are strengthened to live out the godly life. In Jesus' name, O God, I pray. Amen and amen and amen.